I love missionary stories, where someone who knows Jesus goes to someone who doesn't and tells that person about him. And this sermon is about missionaries, and it's got two parts. Part one, why we need them. Part two, how we can help them. Let me show you one of the first missionary stories ever. It is a pretty cool story. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is from a book that Luke wrote. It's called the Book of Acts. It's a 28-page pamphlet about people who know Jesus going to people who don't know Jesus and telling them about him and how God arranges for that to happen in many different ways at many different times and how people are key to that happening. In this one account, God knows that there's going to be an African man who needs to hear about his son. This guy is going to be driving down a certain road at a certain time, and this is before GPS. So God sends a messenger from heaven to guide Philip to the right place. Kind of weird, I think, that God did not just send the messenger from heaven to the place and have him pass on the message to the African man, but that's part of the deal. God wants people who know Jesus to go to people who don't and tell them about him. Not angels telling people, missionaries are people telling people about Jesus. And in this particular case, this particular person is named Phil. So, verse 27, Philip starts out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. So we know a couple of things about this traveler. He's Ethiopian, he's from Africa, he's influential, he's smart, he runs the banks for his country, and he's interested in knowing God better. He came all the way to Israel to worship. When was the last time you got in your car and drove for days to go to a church assembly? That's what this guy did. Once we were in Panama, and it was Sunday morning, and it was time to start the church assembly, but we didn't start. We all just sat there in this huge pavilion out in the middle of nowhere, and we waited 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. We waited 40 minutes. There are hundreds of people sitting under this pavilion, around this pavilion, sitting, standing, waiting. We waited an hour five, an hour 15, an hour and a half. We waited 2 hours after it was time to start. So finally, being the impatient Americans visiting that we were, we went to the missionary and said, "Weren't we supposed to start at 10? It's afternoon." He said, "Well, yes, but we've gotten word that another group of people is almost here. It's a small group, but we thought we would wait." And we said, "So we're going to make all these people wait for a couple of hours for a few people to get here?" And he said, "Well, yes, but they're coming from far away. They're coming from about 12 hours away. And they've been walking all night. And they're almost here." So we waited till they arrived, and then we worshiped Jesus together. I love missionary stories. So an angel from God tells Philip to go to a certain road, and Phil goes there. He's standing there on the side of the road. He's watching traffic. He sees a chariot coming his way. Verse 29 says, "The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.'" Now, not an angel this time. This is God's Spirit. God told Phil that that was his guy. Somehow, inside of him, Phil knew that this guy in the chariot was the reason that he was here. And as he follows God's leading down a path, Philip saw why. Verse 30 says, "Then Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Philip asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And the man said, 'How can I unless someone explains it to me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." Sometimes you just need someone to explain things to you, right? Like, do you know what zinc is? Zinc is what happens to those who can't swim. Do you know why rock climbers do better when they're younger? Because they're much bolder then. Do you know what a forum is? A forum is when you add a threeum and a oneum to get a forum. See, sometimes you need somebody to explain things to you. Sometimes people who know Jesus are placed at exactly the right place at exactly the right time by God to help people who don't know Jesus hear about him. There's a missionary we know who has miraculous stories of how that happens in his life, how God arranges for him to tell other people about Jesus in miraculous ways. One of the most insane ever is when this guy and his wife were walking down a street in a town they were visiting, and the phone in the phone booth they passed started to ring. There was nobody around them on the street that day. They were just walking down the street in a town that they were visiting, and the payphone was ringing. So this guy answered it. That's weird, but he does weird things. And the lady on the other end of the phone, when he picked it up, said, "Is this Dean?" At which point, Dean Troon looked around, thinking he must be being pranked, or this is an old candid camera routine, or something. How could the lady on a payphone that he was just walking by in a town that he was just visiting know his name? But he didn't see any camera crew. Nobody was out there except Dean and his wife. So he said to the lady, "Yes, this is Dean." And the lady said, "Oh, good, I need to talk to you." And Dean said, "What?" And the lady said, "My friend told me that you know God and I should talk to you about him." And Dean said, "What? How did you know to call me here? How did you know to call now? How is this possible? We were just walking by." And the lady said, "Well, I don't know, but I was just so desperate this morning that I dialed some numbers hoping you would answer." And Dean said, "What?" She said, "I asked God to help me talk with you because you know about him, or so I was told. This phone number came to mind, so I dialed it. So could we talk about God?" And Dean, who has a bunch of weird stories like this, was weirded out. Even Dean thought this was too much. But this is what he does. This is how he lives. So he said to this lady, "Sure, let's talk about God." And he told her on that payphone that morning in a town that he was just visiting, walking down the street, he told her about Jesus. I love missionary stories. Phil was in the same kind of situation, sans payphone. He's jogging behind a slowly moving chariot. And the guy in the chariot is reading out loud the very scripture that Phil had just been reading in his daily devotions that morning. Verse 32 of Acts chapter 8 says, "This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told the man the good news about Jesus. A friend of mine invited me to go to Moab, Utah, with him once. They were filming some Christian TV shows out there. His friend was the cameraman. He'd been invited. He asked if I wanted to go. I said, "Great, I went." If you're ever in Moab, Utah, immediately go to the diner, the Moab Diner, and buy everything they sell that's covered in green sauce. Best stuff you will ever eat in your life. So good. Flying back a couple days after that, we had lots of fun out there. It was great. Flying back a couple days from Salt Lake City, I was kind of feeling sick. I had had bad sinus headaches, bad. My head hurt all the time for that last day. I couldn't think very well. We got in the airplane. The cabin pressure made it worse. It was just bad. It was, you know, when you're hazy and you just can't. My friend and I sat down on the plane in a row of three. He sat down. I sat in the middle. There was a lady sat next to me who was talkative. "Where are you from? Why were you out here? How was that? Oh, that's so interesting." You know, talkative airplane seatmates, right? And I'm sitting in the middle between them and my friend who loves to talk and the lady who loves to talk, and my head is killing me a lot. I'm not saying anything. I'm trying to just shrink so I don't have to. My friend's carrying the conversation, which I'm glad for. I haven't said anything in this conversation. Somehow they get to the part where her life is really messed up, and it was really messed up. And she says she's not sure if she wants to keep going. Like she's pondering the end. And she then says, "But I've heard that Jesus can somehow help people like me. You think he could?" I mean, she actually said that line. At which point my friend said, well, John's a preacher. He could tell you all about that. I said, no. So through a haze of sinus-infected brain, I did my best to tell that lady about how Jesus could help her. I mean, sometimes God just sets you up, like he did with me that day with that lady, like he did with Phil and this African guy, like he can do with you and people in your life if you let him. I love missionary stories where people who know Jesus go to people who don't and tell him about him. Luke says, beginning with that very passage, that passage from Isaiah that this guy was reading about Jesus going to die for us, beginning with that very passage, Philip told the Ethiopian about Jesus. And verse 36 says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. In the Bible, in the book of Acts, whenever people hear about Jesus and want to change their life and follow him, the first thing they do is go find water and get baptized. It happened with 3,000 people on the second page of Acts. It happens here with this guy on page 8 in the middle of a desert. With the church's number one enemy getting baptized, page 9. With foreigners getting baptized, page 10. With a businesswoman and a prison guard's family in the middle of the night on page 16. Every time people who knew Jesus went and told people who didn't know Jesus about him, if they wanted in, they headed for water somewhere, and the missionary baptized that person, baptized those people. Here, Philip is telling this Ethiopian man about Jesus. And the African guy interrupts Philip's speech and says, hey, look, over there, water. I want Jesus to cover me. Could I be baptized too? So he was. They stopped the chariot. They went down in the water. I don't know. Was it a river? Was it a stream? Was it somebody's backyard pool? I don't know. They saw water and they went down and he baptized them. I love missionary stories. Roy Weiss was a missionary to college campuses in Missouri. Is campuses a word? Campi. He was a missionary to many colleges in Missouri. He told college kids about Jesus all the time. Great guy. He has some great stories, amazing stories, almost unbelievable, except that God's part of them, so maybe they're true. Roy tells one story about his most athletic Christian friend. He has a friend, he says, is the most athletic man he's ever met in his life. This guy is a wild martial artist. He's wildly missionary-minded, always looking for somebody who doesn't know Jesus so he can tell him about him, but he's also wildly athletic. This guy would pick up hitchhikers just so he would have a chance to talk to them about Jesus. And one time he picked up a hitchhiker. And while they were driving, the hitchhiker pulled a gun on this guy, said he was robbing him. And the martial artist Christian said, oh, you don't want to do this. And the hitchhiker said, oh, I'm doing this. And the martial arts guy, driving the car with his passenger pointing a gun at him, Roy Weiss said, moved so quickly that before the hitchhiker knew what happened, the driver had kicked the gun out of his hand and pinned the guy's hand to the dashboard with one foot while he's still driving with the other foot. And he said to the hitchhiker, I told you, you didn't want to do this. The hitchhiker was stunned, and the driver, while still holding the guy's hand against the dashboard and still driving, said, now, obviously you have issues in your life, but lucky for you, I know a guy who can help you. Pick up that Bible on the floor with your other hand, and I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And before they had driven too much further, the hitchhiker, who had intended to rob this man, asked him, look, there's water over there. Could you baptize me? So the driver saw the pond on the farm that this guy had seen. He pulled over on the side of the road, and they started to head down towards the pond. But it was private property, and it was marked private property. And a policeman who happened to be driving by, can you believe these stories? A policeman happened to be driving by, saw them park there and head down, knew that that was private property. The policeman stops and yells at the two of them, hey, that's private property. You can't go down there. And the driver says to the policeman, oh, good. I'm glad you came along. Come down here. We need a witness. And the policeman said, what? But he went down with them, and the three of them went down towards the pond. The driver baptized the hitchhiker, and before they left, the driver and the hitchhiker convinced the policeman he needed to go to a church assembly next Sunday because he needed to hear about Jesus more. I love missionary stories. The man from Africa asked Philip to baptize him. So Phil did. Verse 39 says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. One characteristic of people hearing about Jesus from missionaries and then choosing to follow Jesus, there's rejoicing. There's always rejoicing. Jesus says there's rejoicing in heaven when someone who is lost isn't lost anymore. But there's rejoicing on earth too. When someone here hears and lets Jesus help them, there is rejoicing. I baptized a lady once, and when she came up out of the water, she looked stunned. Like just deer in the headlights, stunned. And I said, "You okay? Aren't I good? Don't I just always have the right thing to say? I'm so spiritual." I said, "You okay?" And she said, "I have never felt this clean ever." And then she just kind of stood there and glowed. I got a different response from a guy I baptized once. When I baptized him, I kind of knocked his head on the stairs. But in my defense, he was unusually tall. And I didn't realize you need to baptize really tall people in stages. And he conked his head pretty hard on the baptistry steps when I laid him back into the water. And when I brought him up, he kind of looked stunned. And I said, "Well, you know what I said. I said, 'You okay?'" Which I guess is what I usually say when I baptize people. He smiled at me and he said, "Whatever it takes, man, I'm in." I said, "Okay, good." When the African man came up out of the water, he took off rejoicing. Verse 40 says, "Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." I'm thinking God's first use of a transporter beam. I'm thinking they were in Gaza. Suddenly, Philip appears in Azotus. That's about 30 miles. It's like Philip ran a marathon Rosie Ruiz style. He just popped up over there, 30 miles away. Missionary that he was, he looked around and said, "Huh, Azotus." And he started looking for people there who didn't know Jesus. Not because Philip was one of those egotistical, imperialistic, culture-ruining missionary guys that you hear about when you listen to people talk about history today, you know, missionaries going around forcing themselves on other people, making other... He didn't do it because of that, but because knowing Jesus, being covered by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, being trained to do life by Jesus makes everything better. People who follow Jesus can do life way more productively. People who let Jesus guide their decisions are way better to live next to. The reason people who know Jesus go to people who don't and tell them about Jesus is because that makes the world better. Do you got time for a couple cannibal jokes? Like the cannibal whose wife went to the store to buy groceries, but she was gone for such a long time and he was so hungry he decided to make himself a meal. Sometimes you need people to explain things to you. He was so hungry, he made himself a meal. All right, let's try this. Like the cannibal guy who asked his wife what they were having for supper that night, and she said, "Baked beans." Baked beans. Beans. Cannibals? Okay, how about a real story? This salesman... This businessman goes to the Fiji Islands when they first opened up for business, and he's talking to the tribal chief there. And as he does, trying to sell his services, he sees a Bible on a table nearby and says, "Oh, too bad you had to be exposed to that foolishness." And the chief thought about that for a moment, and then he said to the businessman, "Do you see that large white rock over there? That's where we used to smash the heads of strangers who came to our islands to get to their brains." The chief said, "You see that large oven over there? That's where we would cook the bodies of strangers who came to our island before we feasted on them." The chief said, "If it was not for that missionary's foolishness, as you call it, you can be sure that your head would probably be smashed on that rock and your body would be baking in our oven by now." Probably no cannibals listening to me right now, but some of us, before we heard the good news about Jesus, some of us used to brutalize people in our houses. We used to hurt people we did business with. We used to kill people we didn't like. But people who knew Jesus came and told us about him, and since we followed him, we've gotten better. Some of us know what we could have become if left to our own devices because we know our family's background. And we know we could have become like our parents or we could have become like our grandparents, but we're not like them. Not at all. Because of Jesus' influence in our life, we've changed the direction of all the branches coming after us in our family tree. I love missionary stories. I got two more. A couple last missionary stories here in part one. Missionaries, why we need them. On May 22nd, 2002, Harless and Susan Martin were driving on I-40. They had left their home in Norman, Oklahoma. They were heading to a family reunion in Clarkville, Arkansas. It was a rainy Sunday morning. They were just driving along on I-40 at 70 miles per hour when all of a sudden the road they were driving on over the Arkansas River disappeared in front of them. And they drove over the edge and they crashed below in the waters and died. In the fog that morning, a barge had run into one of the support columns of that bridge, and the 600-foot span of the bridge had collapsed midway out. There was a bass fishing contest going on that morning, and fishermen report watching cars and pickups and semis shoot off that bridge for about 5 minutes. Until finally, one of the fishermen on the river took a flare and shot it up at a tractor trailer heading for the edge, and the flare hit the truck's windshield, and the driver slammed on his brakes and slid until the front tires of his truck were almost hanging over the edge of the broken bridge. He slammed his truck in reverse, he backed up, and he parked the rig sideways across the road at the beginning of the bridge so no more drivers would plummet to their deaths. And for those of you with ears to hear, I beg you to see that people who know Jesus and go to people who don't know Jesus in order to tell them about him might be doing the most important thing being done on earth today. Jesus is the answer for the problems with our world today. When people follow him, he makes angry screamers turn into gentle encouragers. When people follow Jesus, he trains self-centered jerks to see the preciousness of other people. When people let Jesus lead them, he can help addicts turn into productive, helpful family members. And that is not just my story, although that is my story. Let me tell you about my Jesus. That is the story that lots of you tell. You were lost. Somebody introduced you to Jesus, and now you're different. Jesus makes a difference. Churches make a difference. Missionaries make a difference. You can make a difference. Where someone who knows Jesus goes to someone who doesn't and tells that person about him, that matters. One young lady who grew up with our church and had an incredibly hard journey in life. Early in her life, it was just all hard. She is now older, she's a mother, she's married, she recently posted in Facebook, and the words on the post went like this. Once upon a time, there was a girl who found her identity and worth in Jesus. The end. But she had crossed out the end, and next to it, she wrote, the beginning. So her post read, once upon a time, there was a girl who found her identity and worth in Jesus, the beginning. And underneath that, this young lady that we had prayed for and supported and helped and loved, underneath she wrote, it's me, I'm that girl. Perhaps the most beautiful thing I have ever read on Facebook. Jesus can change really hard, really bad, really lost into really good. He has. He can. He will. Through people who know him, going and telling people who don't know about him. That's part one. That's why we need missionaries. Part two of this sermon, how we can help missionaries, next Sunday, as I will present to you one of the most radical and miracle-involving offers you might ever hear in your life. Next Sunday, please join us. Let's pray.